Chapter 6, Joy Unspeakable. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 8. The huge crowd who were present knelt down, and out on the fringe I too got to my knees. But somehow, as I knelt with the prayer throng, that man's prayer went deep into my heart. When it was over, I asked the person next to me, "Does he pray at the end of the sermon also?" "Yes," he answered. "He always ends with prayer." I did not pay much attention to the address, but was just waiting for the concluding prayer. At the close of the message, I knelt down again with my heart uplifted to God. I was strangely awakened in my soul. I was so much impressed with that closing prayer that I decided to come again. If a man can pray like that, I thought, he must truly be a man of God. The next day saw me sitting on the very front bench drinking in every word. The meetings ran for 17 days in all. In the early mornings in the London Mission Chapel at Mukhatal Street, and in the evenings in the Tamil Methodist Church, and every day I was there. The speaker's emphasis was continually on prayer and on doing things through prayer alone. As a student of agricultural engineering in the West, Bhakt Singh had been wonderfully converted to Christ in 1929 through reading the New Testament. In 1933, having completed his studies, he had returned to India with a clear call from God to testify to his countrymen of the saving power of Jesus. He resolved to trust God to guide him through prayer alone in carrying out that purpose. In seeking thus to obey God's call in various parts of North India, he had undergone many trials, but God had sustained him through them all. His printed testimony, "How I Got Joy Unspeakable and Full of Glory," had already brought blessings to many. Now, after one of his early morning meetings, my brother and I overheard him speaking with Mr. D. Samuel of the One by One Band, who had been instrumental in bringing him to Madras. They were discussing the need for a photograph to include in the booklet. We had a great desire to come in the personal touch with the Punjabi brother in Christ. And now, Dorai Raj broke into the conversation. "I know a good photographer," he said, "and we'll take you there. But first, come to my house for breakfast." Bhakt Singh smiled and agreed. He came, and it was our first really personal contact with him. On the second Friday of the campaign, Bhakt Singh announced that there would be a weekend retreat at Red Hills Lake and that it would include a whole night of prayer. At first we were incredulous, but he urged us, "Come and see." We both gave our names and went along next day with our holdalls. I had a great desire to pray, yet in truth, I was one of those who secretly smiled at the idea of all-night prayer. How could we possibly go on praying for so long? Accordingly, I took along also my bedding roll. On our early arrival, after taking food, I expected to hear a nice sermon, then pray for some time and then go back to bed. How wrong was I? At 9:30 p.m., about 120 of us were gathered there in the hall expecting an address. Bhakt Singh got up, read only a few verses and then said, "I do not know whether in Madras you have ever heard of all-night prayer meetings, but let us go to prayer and pray as the Lord leads." We were sitting on bamboo mats, the very hard, rough kind, not at all comfortable. Prayer started and I knelt erect and closed my eyes. I tell you, I do not know how the night passed away so quickly. The Spirit burdened us and we poured out our ears to God all night. I myself was in a rapture of prayer. When the meeting was concluded, I opened my eyes. I found I was still erect upon my knees. I, though about an hour, must have passed, but to my amazement, I saw that it was nearly daybreak. What others prayed that night, I was never aware. But the Spirit of prayer fell on me, and I was drawn very close to God. That Sunday evening, back in the city, Bhakt Singh was preaching at the American Baptist Church, Periyamet. Again, at the close of the meeting, Dorai Raj and I overheard him and Brother D. Samuel talking with the minister, Reverend E. Baines about the need for a loudspeaker address system for the large crowds. "That is impossible," Mr. Baines was saying. "The only one in Madras is not available to us." Once again, we intruded. "Sir, can we help you?" we asked. "When do you require it?" "Tomorrow," was the reply. "It shall be done," we declared. We knew we would have some difficulty, but our brother Balia was in the General Electric Company, and with the Lord's help, we managed to obtain the equipment and install it in time. Driving home with his family along Ritherdon Road, one evening in that first week, another young man stopped his car outside the Methodist Church to ask why so many people were gathered. This was George T. Rajaratnam, to whom, in providence of God, we were to be drawn very close in the following days. Gripped by the powerful message, he sent his wife and child home in the car and himself stayed to the end. God's word began to work in him. He accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his own Savior, and from that moment, everything changed in his life. Soon his wife too was born again. They joined in the prayer times, and he too came on the Saturday night of prayer at Red Hills Lake. Soon they were out on the processions of witness, pushing their little daughter along with them in the pram. This was but one of many families whom God touched at this time. Most joyful of all, my own dear Navneetam found the Savior in a personal way at these same meetings, so that now we were in a new measure, one in spirit in what God was doing. I shall never forget the message of Bhakt Singh's last thronged meeting at the Methodist Church on the text, "Behold, he prayeth," Acts chapter 9, verse 11. It opened the eyes of many Christians in Madras to what God can do when his children get to their knees. It was through prayer and this preacher's strong emphasis on prayer that the Lord captured me. A great change came into me now, and my heart was filled with a new joy. Shortly after this, Brother Bhakt Singh left Madras for the Punjab. But the Spirit continued to work, and this wave of prayer went on all over Madras. The fire that God kindled in the people's hearts went on burning more and more fervently. Prayer meetings started here and there all over the city. Groups met for prayer at midday as well as in the evenings. In several places, all-night prayer meetings were arranged on Saturday nights and hundreds used to gather. A spirit of supplication was upon the people as never before. In Zechariah chapter 12, verse 12 to 14, we read the great lamentations, every family lamenting separately for themselves. It was just like that. People came under great conviction of sin and many people turned to the Lord. This great revival of prayer continued for 2 years from 1938 to 1940. It created much hunger and thirst after righteousness in many hearts, not only among folk in Purasavalkam and Vepri, where it had its beginning, but in other suburbs of Madras also. People of the various Christian denominations would ask us to go and conduct meetings in their places of worship. I remember one Monday evening, I was leading prayer in one church where we used to meet. After a little while, a church official came and whispered in my ear, "The building is not on fire, brother. Pray quietly. We have a committee in the next room." Yet many were converted there as a result of the meetings. And at the CMS Tucker Church on Broadway, we constructed a huge wayside pulpit displaying God's word. Though now cut down to half size, it is still there doing its good work. Thus, in the joy of those days, we began to forget the findings of the Archbishop's Commission on doctrine as well as our own recent dejection of spirit. Brother D. Samuel now invited our help in follow-up work. He arranged Bible studies for us in the London Mission Chapel. And at the end of 1938, the first of a series of retreats in a big rented house at Aminji Karai on the Poonamali Road, west of the city. Two young Englishmen from Wellington in the Nilgiri Hills, Alfred J. Flack and C. Raymond Glossworthy, came in turn and open up the scriptures to us. They taught us how the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ was to be a power in our lives, and they stirred us to prayer and to labor towards His coming. Yesu Nathar Varuvar, we sang, Jesus Christ will come again. The Bible teaching went on there and in the city churches for over a year. Once or twice at Aminji Karai, we all broke bread together on the Lord's Day without this in any way affecting our church membership. And once, late in 1939, a Muslim convert asked us there for baptism. The others urged me to baptize him, but I refused. Who was I to undertake such a thing? Instead, we asked a brother, P.H. Roberts, of the Broadway meetings, a son-in-law of Tamil David to do this. Dorai Raj was at this time being used in a writing ministry. From 1938, he was editing the Tamil One by One magazine and was helping also with translation of Scripture Union Bible study notes for Mr. R.T. Archibald. During 1940, he translated and published in Tamil the biography Praying Hide, to which Mr. Godfrey Webb Peploe of Turnaver added a foreword. In my own reading this time, two books had greatly helped me: The Lives of Cricketer C.T. Studd and of the China missionary Hudson Taylor. One passage in the latter's biography specially moved me. His great-grandfather James Taylor had been one of a group of young Yorkshire men who, in 1761, had pelted John Wesley with snowballs. Yet, the great preacher's own parting shot found its mark. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. James's wedding day had arrived, and preparing himself for the event, he was wandering round the farm when in the barn his eye fell on an unthreshed sheaf. He set to and threshed it. And while he did so, as for me and my house, the voice came back, we will serve the Lord. The words brought him to his knees and God transformed his life that day. This incident spoke powerfully to me. What will not God do if we are faithful? Preach His word in the Spirit and we touch the universe. It goes on and on until it has accomplished the thing for which He sent it. At the beginning of 1940, Brother Bhakt Singh passed briefly again through Madras on his way to the Punjab. We were resolved to make the most of the occasion, so we organized the special procession of witness on the Saturday afternoon. A huge crowd gathered at the London Mission Chapel, Mukattal Street, until it became the largest such gospel procession Madras had ever seen. Walking three abreast, the children alone occupied about a furlong. The whole procession extended to a mile in length, with more than 10,000 people taking part, all singing our few simple hallelujah songs. All the denominations joined in. And when at length we all reached the Methodist church compound, Brother Bhakt Singh gave us a stirring message. He departed once more, but the Saturday nights of prayer continued, mostly at St. Andrew's, where Dorai Raj and his family now worshipped. As the weeks went by, more and more people took part in them. The Lord was preparing the ground for a great gospel campaign. It is true that as our love for God's word increased, we began to sense that there was something lacking in the preaching of the local pastors. But they were men we respected and loved, and we began to pray and to believe God for their greater involvement. Their hunger for a spiritual awakening had led to the earlier plan for a convention on Keswick lines, but it had not come to pass. If the Lord were now to bring our brother in Christ back among us for a longer period, might this not prove to be His answer to their needs also? Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. So writes the psalmist, Psalms 110 verse 3. During these days of waiting on the Lord, this was literally fulfilled. God's power was upon His willing people. As our cries went up to His throne of grace, we began to feel sure He would answer by sending His servant back to preach His word to us again. He was God's chosen messenger for that hour. Indeed, I now believe that if, like Jonah, He had declined to come to Madras and had gone elsewhere, God would have used some kind of fish to collect Him and bring Him to us.